From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last week when Governor Andrew Cuomo essentially announced who was going to be the next Monroe County clerk. He had to do so because the former clerk, Cheryl Donolfo, won her race for Monroe County executive. And it was a familiar path. Her predecessor, Maggie Brooks, had also gone from the clerk's office to the county executive's office. Well, the governor appointed a Democrat, Irondequoit supervisor Adam Bellow. Very quickly, the Monroe County Republican Party chairman, Bill Rylick, released a statement attacking Bellow. He said Bellow shouldn't intend to try to go from the clerk's office to the county executive's office, despite the two latest county executives, both Republicans, having done so. And Rylick then said that Bellow has a weak record as supervisor of Irondequoit. Most notably, Rylick criticizing a project known as I-Square. He called the multi-million-dollar development a, quote, failure. Now, it's a project that has a pilot agreement, and the owners say they've been doing very well. They were shocked to hear a local political leader call their business a failure. Over the weekend, the back and forth escalated. Today, Comita, the County of Monroe Industrial Development Agency, put out a statement saying that I-Square missed a deadline on construction for one building on the property, but Comita tells us this afternoon, about 20 minutes ago, they have no knowledge that the project is a failure. So what's really going on here? We've asked the incoming county clerk, Adam Bellow, to join us to talk about not only this dispute, but also his plans as clerk. And Mike and Wendy Nolan from I-Square are here as well. So first of all, Mike and Wendy Nolan from I-Square, thank you for taking the time. I know it's been a hectic few days. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Wendy. And Adam Bellow, I guess, are you county clerk yet? When does that actually start?
Later this week, I'll take the oath of office and become the county clerk. So I'm still the town supervisor for the next couple of days.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate your
time. Thank you for having me, Evan.
We've reached out to Bill Rylick starting yesterday. No response from him or the Republican committee. I reached out to Monroe County Executive Cheryl Donolfo, who is a resident of the town of Irondequoit, for her views on the comments from Bill Rylick. No response from her. I reached out to Bob Duffy, the head of the Rochester Business Alliance, via Twitter last night, and just asked him, are you surprised? What are your thoughts about I-Square? And Bob wrote back to me and just said, I've only heard positive comments. So those are some of the early responses. And then we asked Teresa Mazzullo, who is the head of Comita, to come on this program. We didn't get a response from her, but Comita did put out a statement. And what I want to do is I want to work through what Comita is telling us, and then we'll let our guests in studio also explain what they know about what's going on. First of all, Comita tells us a number of things. That they do not have any knowledge that this project is a failure. That it is in everyone's best interest that this project succeeds. That they are satisfied with the hiring targets and success at I-Square. So those are some of the baselines. Now, when it comes to, is there anything wrong at I-Square? Comita is saying that there was supposed to be a second building, 3 stories tall, 15,000 square feet, and the building that was constructed did not fit the footprint. Essentially, it was not on the right parcel, and it was not the right size, and that constitutes a default on the agreement, and that Comita has a number of options, including asking for money back and canceling the entire agreement. I asked if that actually is possible, and I was told no comment on that. Comita meets the third Tuesday of every month, which means April 19th would be their next meeting. They could decide what to do before then. Let me ask Mike and Wendy Nolan. Just, it's been a whirlwind for you. Mm. Mike, you've told other media this was a shock to you to get pulled into this. Is that how you feel? I mean, were you surprised to see Bill Rylick's comments?
Yeah, it was quite a surprise to us. It was actually a customer in our market that told me during lunch on Friday that first one customer told me about Adam's appointment, and then with 15 or 20 minutes later, another customer asked me why we're getting dragged into this. I said, what do you mean? And then everything began to unfold and unravel, and it's been a three-day sleepless, stomach-wrenching time since then, for really no good reason.
Okay, well, why don't you, for our listeners who haven't been to I-Square, because all morning long, and this is just the truth, I've been hearing from listeners in various forms, Twitter, social media, emails, who have very much enjoyed what's going on out there. But for people who have not been there, tell us about what I-Square is. Take us back a little bit. I think it goes back to 2011 is sort of when this was kind of dreamed up. The actual agreement started in maybe 2013. Or Mike, why don't you tell us about that?
Right. The project, the concept of the project started in 2011. There was a proposal in our town to build a CVS in our town center. And the plans were kind of poor. It was closing six of our small businesses, ones that Wendy and I frequented, would have been closed in lieu of a CVS superstore. And as the plans unfolded, it got uglier and uglier. The CVS was going to be backwards. It was going to eliminate the vision that a lot of us around Equate residents had, that that was our town center. And instead of it being a number of small businesses, it was going to become one drugstore. And so Wendy and I chose to get involved out of principle. So we bought the plaza, the existing plaza on Titus Avenue, out from under CVS, matched their price of $2.2 million between the two plazas, and bought it just really to stop the bad from happening as we saw it. And from there, we researched what should we do. We know this should be our town center. Yeah, what should, you know, how should we go forward? And we unearthed some plans that were done back in 1983, then updated again in 1988. And it was this really spectacular vision of how to build a town center in Irondequoit, how to straighten out the intersection of Cooper and Titus Avenue, Cooper Road and Titus Avenue, that was a kind of a dysfunctional intersection for a long time, offset. It wasn't a regular T intersection or four corners. And so following the guidance of that plan, we acquired 14 other properties in the area all to create this big contiguous property. We built a road. Wendy and I bought an intersection, traffic lights and signals and sidewalks and curbs and underground infrastructure and everything else that needed to happen, paid for it ourselves, to create a four corners, that kind of destination point at the center of Irondequoit. And the intention is to build a seven building, mixed use, commercial type development with everything from apartments to stores to food service places, restaurants, and community spaces.
How far along are you now?
Well, we've completed the worst of it. We built the road. That was the road and the intersection cost us over $1 million to construct, all new sidewalks and that. While we were doing that, we actually laid all the underground work, new gas pipes, new water mains, new sewer, new sanitary sewer system, storm sewer system. Everything all underground for the entire development is completed. That was done a couple of years back. We completed our first building in 2014, which is the market at I Square. It houses seven, it's an open style food hall with a number of seven different food venues in there. And it also houses the Irondequoit Conference Center. The Irondequoit Conference Center is a meeting place or a banquet facility, seats up to 120 people. The reception to that has been phenomenal. It's booked out three or four nights a week. We're doing most of the school district and other community banquets and annual events, and it's been a real success point for us. Since then, last year we constructed in 2015 our recycling and maintenance center. It sits on about 3/4 acre lot. It's a full green facility. And the purpose of that is to serve all of the other six buildings as far as all our storage, recycling, refuse needs. So they're all consolidated. As we see I Square finishing, we're going to have 24, 25 businesses within I Square. If each one of them had their own dumpster, their own recycling bin, our whole development would be cluttered with this. So we decided to create one consolidated center. And that was in conjunction with NYSERDA, the state of New York, and a cleaner, greener communities program, and created this consolidated center for waste and recycling handling. And it's a state-of-the-art facility, really beautiful. It also gave us 34 more parking spots.
Okay. And on the long end of the timeline, you expect to be done with everything. Ideally, I Square is done when, Mike?
2020.
2020?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you've given us the vision for it. And what I want to do is make sure we also understand that there is an agreement through CUMITA, mm-hmm. common for projects like this locally. Your agreement, and again, we heard from various media sources reporting yesterday, the West Irondequoit School District saying you're on time with payments. You haven't defaulted
Correct.
Or missed a payment.
Correct.
So so to indicate, again, from the Republican Party chairman that there's any sort of a failure here, not missing any payments. But now CUMITA is saying, well, that building you just described is not what was in the agreement, that it was supposed to be up near the front, or I guess out closer to the road, larger, a different parcel, and that didn't fit Is that wrong? Is Comita wrong?
Yes, they are wrong. Our plans and in our application, everything is very clear that it's a moving target, that it is developed in phases and would be designed. And same thing with our town's planning board has the same. Each building we go to construct, we go back to the town and go back through our procedures to construct and revise the site plan as it's a work in progress. And all that approval process took place. It went through the planning board and received all the appropriate approvals. And it was also included in our the information we sent to Comita. I believe it's due February 1st. That we give a summary of our prior year spending and so forth. And all the spending for that was included in that submission and accepted by Comita at that point.
Okay. I mean, the strange thing now is this is becoming a Comita said, Nolan said thing, which is probably, again, a week ago, the last thing in the world you expected you'd be sitting in the middle of, I understand. But what happens next? Mike and Wendy, what are you going to do to clarify this? Comita, again, I want to stress, we asked Teresa Mazzullo and Comita to come on this program. They said no. They had an attorney from Harris Beach representing them call us, would not record an interview with us, but talked to me about 20 minutes ago. And she said that, again, the hiring targets are being met, that yes, you're on time with your payments, that there's no knowledge that there is a failure. But because that second building wasn't what it was agreed to be, that you are in default and that they've got options now that they have to decide, that they could shut down this agreement or they could ask for you to sort of pay back any sort of the breaks you've gotten. And I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to make some decisions on that. What are you going to do between now and then? Are you reaching out to them? What's next for you?
No, I probably won't deal directly. We'll get our attorneys involved at this point. This has been escalated to a degree that's extremely harmful to the future of I-Square. And by Comita's actions, their statements, as well as Mr. Rylick's, it's definitely escalated to a point where this will end up in the courts over those statements that were made.
And are you going to file a libel or defamation claim?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes.
Against Mr. Rylick?
Yes.
Well,
and the GOP.
Well, for that matter, then, let me go ahead and read Bill Rylick's newest statement, which came in about 15 minutes ago, just before the Nolans arrived here. And before I do that, you know, Wendy, I know your husband's doing a lot of the talking. How are you? Let me just ask, how are you doing?
It's been a long weekend. It's very hurtful. We work so hard to improve our area in Irondequoit, and for someone to try and tear us down, it's very hurtful. We've invested millions of our own dollars. We've invested thousands of hours of our own time. The community loves I-Square, and to come out and say something just for political reasons. I'm a registered Republican. Bill Rylick does not represent me or Monroe County, and he should resign for the things that he has said about I-Square. It's hurtful, it's personal, and it's just not right.
Let me go ahead and read his updated statement then. This is from Bill Rylick, and it came in just before this program began. I'll read it in its entirety. We'll get the reaction from Mike and Wendy, but also we'll bring Adam Bello into the conversation. Here's what Bill writes. Quote, when this story first began to develop late last week, the first words out of my mouth were, the town of Irondequoit is a beautiful place filled with good people. I know firsthand the challenges of running a business in New York State, having built my very own business from the ground up and operating it for 28 years. I also know the important role town government plays in the success of local development projects. Often the town is the first place a potential developer goes for assistance. The issue I raised with I-Square was not with the developer, but rather with Adam Bello, who was abandoning them during a time of great need. Despite appearances, the documents released by Comita clearly show that the project is in jeopardy and has failed to fulfill its promises to the taxpayers. It is no secret that I-Square received millions of dollars in taxpayer assistance through abatements and grants from the town, school district, county, and state. I certainly recognize the need for that assistance given the state's dismal business climate, but I also know that taxpayers demand accountability for their investments. I truly believe this project can be successful. I'm just disappointed that Adam Bello has decided to abandon them during this difficult time. End quote. That's from Bill Rylick again, just before this program began. Mike and Wendy, does that change your view at all, Wendy?
We never have felt abandoned by Adam Bello. He has been the consummate professional. He brought professionalism to Irondequoit that we had missed out on. He treats it as a job job number one is being the town supervisor. He actively seeks investment and development of Irondequoit, and that's exactly what we're giving back, is investment in our community.
Okay. Mike, you talked about a defamation suit against Mr. Rylick. Does this change your mind at all?
No. No, I mean, it's just further lies, further misinformation he continues to provide. What our questions, I guess, for him and what I'd really like to see him address would be, how does he direct Comita to do an investigation on over a weekend?
Well, hold on. Back up. Explain. Because according to Comita, again, that this understanding about the second building, the confusion here, mm-hmm. That apparently there was somebody who came out yesterday, last night, inspect?
7 o'clock last night, Comita appointed legal representatives were on our site to inspect, to see it. How does that come under the order of the GOP? How does he order Comita to pull an investigation? If they replied, if you look at the timing of the replies, both the Harder Seacrest letter, the Comita letter, Teresa's letter, it's impossible they were working on this late last night. At Harder Seacrest and Emory.
You don't think it's a coincidence that they came out for an inspection on a Sunday night after a weekend of political controversy?
Not during the NCAA championship, no. No, I don't.
Okay. Well, and Mike, before I ask Adam Bellow to respond to some of Mr. Rylick's comments, let me just press one more time, because now it's not just Bill Rylick saying that you've missed targets. Comita itself is saying that, and you've got to, look, as much as people will feel maybe compelled by some of the argument that you're getting pulled into the political crossfire, there are also taxpayers listening who may say, hey, if you were supposed to build a second building and you missed a deadline, is that a legitimate complaint? Because Comita is saying you're wrong. They're saying that you've missed the deadline, and that's significant.
Right. And I'm sure they could say it, but I mean, the obvious is to drive out anybody who questions it themselves. They can see three brand new constructed buildings on our site. We are really looking at it, too, because the amphitheater is a very, very small building and would be hard-pressed to consider that as a true building in the construction state. But no, exactly per the contract that they have. And there's a couple of good points, and I'm reading this directly out of the original signed contract that Judy Seil, myself, and the board signed. But basically, what it says in here is that we do have to construct a second building by December 31st of 2015, and that we also have to meet an investment milestone, which they question whether we have met or not. But furthermore, it says that they'll do an annual review of it, and that they'll send us for information every year, and they do it, and it's due February 1st. And it's specific, speaking of the milestones that I'm regarding, and it says, in the event that such notification is, in such form containing such detail and backup documentation and information as to the county shall be reasonably require, in each instance the agency agrees to provide prompt written notification to the affected tax jurisdictions and the company of the satisfaction of the milestone. In each event, such notification is not provided within 30 days for the purpose of holiday, blah, blah, blah. Evidence is not, where it says, I'm sorry,
by
it
the
says
way,
it will be deemed acceptable.
Mike is flipping through
180-page
lots
document.
Of pages. Yeah.
But anyway, basically it says that if they don't challenge it within 30 days, that it's deemed acceptable. And it's written right here in the contract, and that information was provided in January, which is more than 30 days ago. So for them to open an investigation just to backfill or to try and make some truth out of Mr. Rylick's statements really drags Comita into this in a legal standpoint. And there are remedies for legal actions with Comita that are spelled out in the contract, and we'll pursue those as well.
All right. Adam Bellow, Bill Rylick, in his newest statement says he really was just trying to kind of take a shot at you, saying that you're abandoning the town of Irondequoit. First of all, you want to respond to that?
Well, I would just say this. When you jump into a political process, and when I was appointed clerk last week, I expected that there would be some there's going to be some politics there, and I'm going to be attacked for certain things. What I did not expect was that there would be an attack on my residence in Irondequoit, and I think that's the way folks in our community are feeling. I Square is a gem in the town. This was a project that has literally transformed a whole area of our town. It serves as a town center. You should see the community events that take place there, whether it's Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or Little League, registration events there. It's busy every night. I was just there this past Saturday. The place was packed. And they have a stage there outside. Last summer, you could stop down almost on any weekend night and grab an ice cream and go outside and listen to a band performing out on the lawn. And it's really done a lot to change the way people think about Irondequoit. For a long time, we were a community that was thought to be somewhat stagnant. We were spinning our wheels. And part of the magic here with I-Square is that they were so successful, and they were so successful in bringing the community together that it started to change the way people felt about our community. So when we had I-Square being built, you have the library being built, we have progress being made at Medley Center, all these things started to change the way people felt. And the last thing that I think I would have expected, and certainly that the Nolans would have expected, was for them to be attacked as some sort of political process. To me, that was a little bit beyond the pale.
Adam, in this case, now that Comita is saying they think that their official determination is an event of default because of this second building, do you, as town supervisor, have any concern that Comita could be right, that Mike and Wendy could be wrong?
Well, I have to read what they, finish analyzing what they wrote. The problem, though, with the release that was made today by, it was Harris Beach, a law firm, not Harder, Seacrest, and Emery, but what they wrote today actually raises more questions than what it gets answered, because as the Nolans have indicated, they had submitted to Comita quite some time ago where they were in the construction of the project and how they were relative to the benchmarks and the milestones they should have met. It was actually Comita's responsibility at that time to review that information and release that. And if there's a problem, as a town, as an Irondequoit resident who thinks I-Square is just fantastic, I'd like to know. But also as a town supervisor, I also have an obligation to have been notified, I think, and so would the school district if there was a problem with I-Square. And so that notification never happened. And so in a way, this raises a lot more questions, because how the chairman, Rylick's, a statement said he got some information through contacts through Comita or something like that. And what this raises is, how is it possible that something's being reported, if there's a problem, through the Republican Party chairman and not through the developers, the town, and the school district, or apparently through Comita? Because Comita, if the dates on these on this pronouncement from Comita and on the statements today all come from today, so how is it possible information was released, kept from the developer, kept from the town and the school district, but released by a political party chairman and not through Comita a couple of days ago? So I'm very troubled by this. And I think, like I said, this actually raises a lot more questions about the process that was followed here than it answers.
Do you now, you're going to be the Monroe County Clerk, one of the leaders in your party in this county, do you have broader questions for Comita in general? Do you feel Comita's been politicized?
Well, I think they've been drawn into this. And again, like I said, someone's going to have to answer these questions, because to me, it just does not make sense that this information would have been submitted to Comita. And again, this doesn't actually involve the town of Irondequoit, which is what makes this even more bizarre, is that these things aren't reported to me from the developer. These things are reported to Comita, and then Comita would follow a process on how to follow up if a benchmark or milestone was not met. So to criticize, to say you're criticizing me as the town supervisor over something that's reported to Comita is a non sequitur, and that doesn't really make a lot of sense. So, so really this raises a lot of questions about the process. Was the process followed? And also, how is it possible that a political party chairman knew something that the town, the developer, the school district, and we haven't heard from the county yet, but I assume the county didn't know. So this whole thing is just strange. But, I tell you, it has engendered a lot of anger in the town of Irondequoit. I-Square is a very successful, popular development. I just went to Wegmans yesterday to do some grocery shopping. It took me over 2 hours to get out of the store because the folks coming up to me to say, what in the world happened here? Why are people attacking I-Square? And I said, I don't have a good answer for you, but we will find out.
Okay, a couple of things here. I want to know, Adam, what you would make of if Comita decides to try to penalize I-Square under the terms of the agreement that they're citing. And again, this comes from Harris Beach, this statement. I haven't been able to get through to Comita itself. This does, I think, open up a lot of questions about how Comita operates, and hopefully we'll get those questions answered. But Comita, through Harris Beach, is saying they've got four options here. I guess I assume five. I assume that they could say, okay, things are fine, we'll do nothing. But here are the four options they lay out. Number one, declare immediately due and payable all unpaid pilot payments due under the pilot agreement. Two, take any other action it deems necessary to cure any such event of default. Three, take any other action at law or in equity which may appear necessary or desirable to collect the pilot payments due under the pilot agreement. Or four, terminate the pilot agreement. If they do any of those four to a project that is, you know, in the middle of its development, and as you, in your own assessment as town supervisor, a successful one, would that be an injustice?
Yes. I'm looking at the probably one of the most successful development projects in the history of the town of Irondequoit. And I would invite your listeners, Evan, if anybody has a question as to what is actually built at I-Square, why don't you come on down to I-Square tonight and take a look. The pilot, I reread a portion of the pilot this morning because there's all these questions going back and forth. And where it references a second structure to be built, it doesn't define the second structure from what I can tell. And so, you know, that's why this comes as such a surprise to everybody, that if there was somebody at Comita who knew this, it should have been reported months ago. It should not have been reported by a political party chairman last week. That's inappropriate. But I would invite you to come to I-Square. We had just, I was going to tell you that on Saturday I was there for dinner. I was sitting in a building, and we had a great dinner and ice cream. And then we walked outside the building, looked at the second building, and shook my head and said, I don't understand. It's sitting right there. And there's a stage right across from it. So there's not only is there not just one structure, there's three. Sitting on that property, and I've met with the Nolans in just the past couple of weeks, and they're before our planning board right now with the design for their next building, which I know they anticipate breaking ground on in the next couple of months. And what I would hate to see is that any controversy like this, and what I think we're witnessing here is politics at its worst, to have a negative impact on something that has really galvanized our community in Irondequoit and has done a lot to make Irondequoit successful and give us a lot of momentum there.
All right. Alan writes to the program and says, I'm also a Republican, and this is why people hate politics. Please apologize on my behalf to your guests. So that comes from Alan, a registered Republican.
Thank you, Alan.
Listeners, if you want to call the program with questions or comments, you can do that. 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Maybe you've been out to I-Square recently. You want to weigh in on what you're seeing out there. And maybe you've got some totally non-I-Square related questions or comments for the new Monroe County clerk. It's Adam Bello, who is going to be taking that job. Again, he said the oath of office later this week, right, Adam?
That's correct.
Okay, and then you'll have to run for re-election or run for election in November, yes?
That is correct, yep, and I will be seeking election in November.
And you will be seeking election in November. Bill Rylick is warning that you better not run for county executive. What did you make of that comment?
I'm running for county clerk. That, again, it just sort of came out of nowhere. There was a lot that was said last week that I think was disappointing, and really, like I said, you know, what's most frustrating here is that when I announced, the governor had announced he'd appointed me to be county clerk, and I went and spoke to the media, my expectation was that we would have a conversation about the county clerk's office and some of the things that we can do, some of my visions for running the office, and I think, you know, some of the reasons why I think this is the right thing to do, and then also the future of Irondequoit in some of the how we were going to continue the great work that we've done over the last couple of years. The last thing I thought we would do would be doing is defending I-Square, an attack really on residents, not on me. There was some allegation made about our library that was absurd, and then I know there was also a suggestion that the work we had done on Medley Center was somehow not moving the ball forward, that somehow I took it as an implication we might have been better off with the former owner than the new owner, and all of that just seemed absurd to me. And so, it rolled out, I think, in a little bit of a strange way from some of the things that the other party leader said. But this is politics at its worst. This is what turns people off from the political process. And in Irondequoit, we try to do things different there. I don't know what the how they do it other places, but we've made a determined effort since I was sworn in as the Irondequoit Town Supervisor to involve everybody, to bring people together. I work very well with folks from all political parties. I worked very well with the former county executive when we were dealing with Medley Center and terminating those tax benefits and putting the property back on the tax rolls. And I've appointed folks from all different political parties to our boards, the zoning boards, planning boards, conservation boards. We try to work with everybody, and we really made a concerted effort to take politics out of the government in Irondequoit. And that's something I'm known for in Irondequoit. And that's what I intend to bring to the county clerk's office, that same vision for governing.
All right, phones are lighting up here, and I'm just going to read the emails without cherry-picking anything. Kevin just writes, I-Square is the best thing happening in West Irondequoit. Only politics could hold back such a wonderful thing. Patrick writes, I firmly agree with the Nolan's call for Bill Rylick to resign. Phil writes to us, Mr. Rylick is in a hole and just got a bigger shovel. Lately, digging deeper seems to be a popular strategy. Not very smart to attack a project this beloved. Let's get a short break and get your phone calls. We'll come back with Mike and Wendy Nolan from I-Square. Adam Bellow is the Irondequoit Town Supervisor for a few hours more, and he will be the Monroe County Clerk later this week. Short break and your phone calls next. Coming up in our second hour, New York State is debating paid family leave, and within weeks it could pass. So what does that mean for New Yorkers? What does it mean for business owners? Some in the business community say there are unintended consequences, and they're worried about the cost. So we'll talk about how it would work, who would be impacted, when, and why. Paid leave next hour on Connections.
Robots are increasingly being considered for use in rescue situations, like escorting groups out of a burning building. For the technology to work, humans need to trust their rescue robots, and it turns out that isn't much of a problem.
If the robot says it can do something, people will generally believe that it will do something.
Placing or misplacing our trust in robots later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on WXXI.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and if you're just joining us, this is a unique is a strong word. I don't know if I've seen a story like this, because sure, there have been plenty of times when big community projects have been examined, and frankly, where they have struggled, we've seen a history locally. If you live in Irondequoit, you know about Irondequoit Mall that became Medley Center. But I-Square has been a pretty popular project, at least as far as I can tell. And now you've got their local Republican Party chair calling it a failure, saying it's in jeopardy, Comita saying it's missing deadlines. And obviously, there's a big dispute now about the status of it. But I think what we're hearing from people who visit it and from the owners, and certainly from Comita saying they're meeting hiring goals, they're meeting most of the benchmarks, et cetera, is that this isn't a project that's in any kind of danger of actually failing. So it's strange to see it brought into a political dispute the way it has been. Unfortunately, Mr. Rylick would not come on this program, hasn't responded to our requests for interview, haven't been able to get anybody from Comita to join us. We hope that will change soon. It's an open door for them. Let me get Linda in Irondequoit first up on the phones. Go ahead, Linda.
Yes, thank you. I'm a longtime resident of Irondequoit, and I just have a comment, and it's a comment that has been made. My thank you very much to everything that the Nolans and Adam Bellow have done for Irondequoit. It has made so many changes. When out-of-town company comes, I bring them to I-Square for dinner. I go there regularly. It would be a terrible, terrible thing to have this taken away from us. Anyway, I apologize to Adam Bellow, who I'm going to miss dearly, but I'm so glad he's in Monroe County with us still. And I apologize to the Nolans. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, for coming to I-Square. It's a community project, and we couldn't do it without community support.
Linda, thanks for the phone call. Next up, again, going right down the line, Michelle in Irondequoit. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi. I wanted to say Adam Bellow is top shelf in Irondequoit. I-Square is top shelf in Irondequoit. And think about what Rylick's doing. He's making himself appear like a local Donald Trump. He likes to hear himself talk, and he really doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm insulted that anybody would even listen to him. So what we might do in our local politics is to do just like they're doing in the elections and saying, I'm not going to address anything he says because he doesn't know what he's talking about. And let him go, you know, just let him go his own way and don't pay any attention to him whatsoever. Thank you, Adam, for a great program.
Well, Michelle, thanks for the phone call. I would say one of the concerns I think that we're hearing from Adam, from the Nolans, is the concern that there could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If something gets tagged with a reputation, the last thing you want to do is for that to be cemented if it's not true. And I've asked Mike and Wendy, is there something you're not telling us? Are there financial problems under the surface that are about to come out? They say, no, of course not. And they're disputing strongly what Kamita says is missing a milestone on a second building. So that's going to have to get hashed out one way or another with Kamita going forward. But Mike, Wendy, are you concerned that Mr. Rylick's comments could create a self-fulfilling prophecy, could impact the business? Mike, if you're going to sue for defamation, is that at the core of it, that it could actually hurt the business?
Yes, it definitely will. I mean, no matter what, whenever you hear a story, you read a headline, you hear the lead-in to a story, that everybody believes that there is some truth to it. Regardless, you know, even I do. I'm a skeptic. A lot of times they hear the stories and I say, yeah, that's kind of, can't be very accurate, you know, but there's something to it. Why did they get it? You know, what made it newsworthy? And so in that light, it is very detrimental because we got banks to deal with. We are development. We have future tenants to be concerned about, our food service patrons. There's just so many different things. Our personal reputation is in jeopardy because of his comments that are complete lies.
Isn't it possible, though, that the community rallies to your support, that the community is concerned about the impact and actually it goes the other way?
You know, it does feel that way in the short term, but I think either way, he's done severe damage to our reputation.
All right, let me get back to the phones, and Nora in Parenton is next up. Go ahead, Nora.
Hi. I just want to say, number one, Mr. Bello, I live in Parenton, but I have watched you on TV. I've listened to you closely, and you are not only a gentleman, but you also know how to be a leader for the people. And unfortunately, Mr. Rylick is just upset that there's a Democrat going into the county clerk's office, and it's just another reflection of his inability to follow the rules. Thank you.
Nora, thanks for the phone call. Well, I mean, I don't know if you're in any disagreement there. You've heard our guests who are in studio say they do think this has all been politicized, and all starting with the fact that Adam Bello was appointed to be the next Monroe County clerk by Governor Cuomo last week. Right down the line in Irondequoit, Al, next up. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, thanks. Just wanted to check in. Hey, Mike and Wendy and Adam, you know who I am. Longtime resident, also make my living in this town. And the taint that he's not only putting on I Square, but maybe reflecting on the town, is just very painful for me to hear. And I'm also going to go somewhere that Mike and Wendy are, and Adam are all gentle people, but they've had a problem with I Square since before it was developed. The previous administration was never able to follow up on a plan for a town center, and Mike and Wendy came in and did it with no help from the previous Republican administration before. Adam ran a very great campaign supporting I Square. The people spoke with their votes. They've spoken with reelecting Adam the second time around, and they've certainly spoken by supporting Mike and Wendy, their businesses, the growth, and the love for I Square in town is unquestionable. Mr. Rylick made a big mistake. He's dug himself into a big hole, and now it looks like Kamita's being run by Rylick as a puppet master, and I'm just anxious for this to play out and very confident that the truth's going to come out. Okay, Al, see you around.
Al, thanks for the phone call. And let me ask the Nolans, before I get back to the phones, as the phones continue to ring, let me ask the Nolans, help our listeners who don't fully understand how the pilot agreement would work, because that's a term we hear a lot of, payment in lieu of taxes, et cetera. But Mike, in this case, for you, how is it set up?
Well, payment in lieu of taxes is really just like a tax bill. The money goes into the exact same funds as if we were paying a regular tax bill. Ours is, our pilot agreement, the basis of it was really to provide predictability in our tax payments as we developed the project, so that we didn't have these huge increases as the assessment rises, as our development, you know, comes to fruition. So what the arrangement is, we pay about $100,000 a year in property taxes through our pilot, and that's paid in the same portions. It would be about half of it goes to the schools, about a quarter to the town, and about a quarter to the county. And that was actually greater than what it would be is if we didn't have a pilot in place. So today, if we just paid taxes on our the actual properties like everybody else does, our payments would be much lower than that.
Do you know what they would be?
It depends on where the assessment fell, but it would be under $80,000 a year.
Okay, but you'll continue to pay $100,000 on an annual basis. Is that correct?
Correct, no? And it escalates 2.5% per year.
Okay.
And for each of the 25 years during the duration.
Now, the benefit to you would be if I2 thrives like you want it to, it will end up being a good deal for you. But the idea is it is stability for you now, and it is stability for the school district, for the town, for the county. So
correct.
It's predictability and stability for you right now, not necessarily a very good deal, could become a very good deal if you grow I2 the way you have said you want to.
Correct.
And the goal is that it works out for everybody that way.
Yeah. And once it's an incentive for us really to build, because as soon as we get to our fourth and fifth buildings, $100,000 in taxes is a very attractive thing, even wherever we're at with the escalator at that point. So that's when we do benefit, but it's set up to be incentivized for me to finish what I've committed to do, which is exactly what we intend to do.
And if you missed it earlier, West Irondequoit School District saying, you're on time with payments. I assume the town, Adam
Bell?
That's
correct. Same thing with the town of Irondequoit, yep.
Okay, on time with payments. So there's just some of how it is structured, and I know that's been a consistent question. Also in Irondequoit, this is a different Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Evan. I just wanted to call in and compliment Wendy and Mike for their work on the I2 project. I'm with Reconnect Rochester, and we've done a lot of advocacy for complete streets and walkable neighborhoods, and the I2 development should be held up as a model for future development in the county of Monroe. And
we've lost you for a second there, Mike. Well,
I think the right look should come out. Sit down, have dinner with us there, and actually see, you know, what the development is all about. It's a working process, but, you know, I see Mike and Wendy there all the time.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to jump in because we lost your connection a little bit, but I think what we're hearing from is Mike Governale from Reconnect Rochester. And let me just say, you know, Mike was on the program recently when we talked about, we've had a number of conversations about walkable cities, pedestrian-friendly areas, that kind of a thing. And you know, interestingly, we had a conversation about the future of suburbs because some have said, well, suburbs will die. And I don't think suburbs will die. But one of the conversations was the suburbs that thrive will have their own centers that are walkable that, yeah, maybe you drive to, but you can spend an afternoon, that you can eat, you can walk around, you can go to a performance. And Mike and Wendy, is that part of the vision that you see for I2?
Yes, it is. It's exactly that walkable, bikeable. Yeah, we have strollers coming down the road every day. It's a real welcoming feeling to see that, and you know, we're primed for that because we are located in a heavily residential area.
Okay, Danielle in Brighton, next up. Go ahead, Danielle.
Hi, I have to fess up that when I saw across my phone the announcement come the DNC and Comita and I2. I thought they were talking about Imagine Square on University Avenue. And then I looked up on my computer and I listened to your show, and I want to reassure your guests that what I just heard will not change my view now of what I know now about I2, and that I'm going to bring my family down for a meal at your restaurant and discover what I2 is about over the weekend. So please rest assured, I think anyone who has just been listening to this conversation, and I don't know Mike and the Nolans at all, but I have been aware of Adam Bellow's wonderful work. So please know that there are those of us in Rochester who really are hearing you.
Thank you, Danielle. And it's very important that we stay true to Irondequoit and that Irondequoit loves I2, but it's equally important to get the suburbs and the surrounding areas out to Irondequoit and out to I-Square as well. So thank you very much.
You know, who thought there'd be a hashtag I stand with the Nolans? You know,
that's, I saw that last night.
Oh, you did? These are things that Mike and Wendy probably didn't think they'd see a few days ago. Mm-hmm. Before I get at least one more phone call in, I just want to kind of stay on one question here, because I got an email from someone saying I'm being unfair to Bill Reilich by not having him on this program. I want to say again, the chairman of the Monroe County Republicans is welcome on this program. He was invited on this program. I'd love to have him, and we didn't hear back. I started that process yesterday. Haven't heard back. He did release a couple of statements over the weekend and then another statement right before the program began. But I'd love to have Bill Reilich. I promise you that. It will be an open door for him and for Comita, because I think this opens up a lot of questions in general about Comita. You know, not the least of which I've wanted to know, Comita has sort of been derided in recent years as the organization that never says no, which isn't always fair because a lot of their vetting happens, and then when they finally get to a vote, they've done the vetting. So I understand that part of it, but how often have they actually disciplined a project for, quote, missing a milestone? And how often have these kind of things come up? Now, these are things I want to know for those who've alleged that this is politicizing Comita. So we're going to try to find out. I'd like Teresa Mazzullo to come on this program and tell us more about the process. And we need to hear more about Comita's characterization for why the Nolans, they say the Nolans are wrong about this second building. And so I'll just ask Mike and Wendy one more time here. Going forward, what are you going to do if Comita doesn't budge on this? And they say, no, you missed that milestone, that this building that you built is not as big as it should have been. It's not on the parcel it should have been on. And therefore, we can penalize you because of that.
I believe that'll end up being a court decision.
You're just going to take that to court?
Absolutely.
All right. So, and if they called you tomorrow, would you just refer it to your attorneys? I mean, is that what's going to end up happening here?
Yes.
How has your relationship with Ben Comita up until this last week?
Absolutely great, till Bill Reilich stepped in. And the fact that I-Square is getting dragged, I know everybody keeps saying this is politics, but this is BS. This is just something to attack a small business, private I'm not elected. I've never held an office of elected, neither is Wendy. We are not up for attack like this.
Okay. So I promise listeners we'll follow up as best we can with both Mr. Reilich and Comita. One more phone call on the subject comes from Patrick in Rochester. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi, Evan. I'm a big fan, and I listen to your show every day.
Thanks.
It's my first time calling in. To the Nolans and to Mr. Bello, I echo what the previous callers have said. My family and I just moved here about a year ago, and we just live outside of Irondequoit, but definitely appreciate your service to the community. One of the things that strikes me is that, you know, the GOP is full of bombastic individuals and people who like to hear their own voices, as was said earlier. And I just find it so hypocritical that they are the party that is all the time talking about jobs and small businesses, and that this attack has, you know, targeted the exact constituency that they say that they protect, when, you know, their true colors are actually that they're hypocritical. They're just doing it for political gain. And, you know, I don't think that the small business owners have any reason to be in this conversation at all. That this sounds like it's just personal between you know, the town supervisor in Greece and Bello.
Patrick, thanks for the phone call, just because we're running out of time. And Wendy said earlier, you're a Republican. Now he's attacking your party more broadly here. But what do you make of what Patrick just said?
No, he makes a lot of good points. I think what happened when Adam ran for town supervisor, the people of Irondequoit kind of forgot about their political backing and their background and how they're registered, because Republicans and Democrats voted for Adam one time and then again. So politics aside, I think everybody's best interest, no matter what political background you are, is to have investment in your community. Bill Reilich would certainly love investment in Greece. Adam Bello encourages investment in Irondequoit, and that just works out best for everyone.
Adam Bello, about 90 seconds. Are you going to be able to kind of try to set this aside and focus on your clerk's duties going forward? Initially, I thought, well, Adam Bello is going to be the next clerk. I'll ask him to come on the program. We'll talk about that. Obviously, this has been a hot issue, and I understand it, and I know you do too, but are you going to try to be able to move aside And focus on other clerk's duties as well.
Of course. And that's, and you know, I'm looking forward to taking that oath of office later this week so I can hit the ground running. There's a number of things I want to talk about. I mentioned the vacant property issue and forming a task force on that. So Evan, we could have a whole show on that someday.
Well, consider this an invitation.
Thank you.
And I know it's important to me and our listeners, and I know you also understand why we've been a little derailed in the last few days.
Of course. And you know what? I'm glad we just spent the last hour talking about I-Square. I stand with Mike and Wendy Nolan. I think the residents in Irondequoit, and probably now I think the greater Rochester community do as well. They see the gem, the real, the benefits that I-Square has brought to our community. Again, it's transformational to that area of town, and I think they're off to a great start. They're a successful business in Irondequoit. These are Irondequoit residents who chose to make an investment in their community. And so I'm very proud of them. I'm proud of the work they've done. I will be at I-Square. If not tonight, I'll be there most days this week because I want to show them my support. And I think a lot of folks in Irondequoit are going to do the same.
Mike, Wendy, remind our listeners who've never been to I-Square where it is, real quick. Where is it?
Right at the intersection of Cooper and Titus Avenue on Irondequoit, next door to the House of Guitars.
The Hog, baby. That's where I got my tailor years ago. I did. And that's a landmark certainly there. So,
yes.
Mike and Wendy, thanks for taking the time to come in and answer questions. There were a lot of different questions. I know it's been a hectic few days for you. I hope that we can stay in touch based on our conversations with Kamita and going forward. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and Adam Bello, the new Monroe County Clerk, we'll have a lot to talk about beyond I-Square, and we'll talk soon, and thanks for taking the time as well.
Thank you, Evan. I appreciate it.
All right, short break. We're talking paid family leave at the state level next hour.